talk some hoops, some track and field, some preps. Our next guest is the fine journalist for the Register Guard in the sports section. Is where you can find his work online, registerguard.com. On Twitter, use the handle at @ChrisHansen_RG. Mr. Hansen, how's life treating you and your family these days?
We're doing good, Steve. How are you doing?
I can't complain. For some reason, they're still letting me do this, and they pay me twice a month. So as long as the scam is working, I'm going to go with it.
Yeah, just keep your head down and don't say anything, right?
You know, when it comes to certain things, I'm the novice seeking information. And a lot of people have said, you know, Chris covers track and field. You had him on talking about hoops. When are you going to talk some track and field? So here we are. So everybody get off my case. Quite the performance this weekend. Cooper Tare, the senior from Alameda. I know he had a nice resume coming in. He was a cross-country freshman of the year, some remarkable times indoors the past 2 years. But the performance in Fayetteville, what did we see? And, Chris, what kind of substantial recognition did it earn?
Cooper Tare is on a bit of a hot streak. I mean, they've only had two meets this year. He's only run four races. And in those four races, he set two collegiate records. He has three NCAA leading times, you know, and he set three personal bests in the individual event. So he's got the collegiate record now in the mile. He has the part of the collegiate record in the distance medley relay. He's the national leader in the 3,000, and then he ran an 800 on Saturday just for good measure and set a personal best. So it's been quite a month for Cooper.
Yeah, and then 2 weeks ago, his teammate Charlie Hunter, who's a redshirt junior from Australia, got the season off and rolling. I mean, the men of Oregon are top-ranked. So what kind of performance did he crank out? And like Cooper, he became the first Duck to capture, was it the national performer of the week?
Yeah, the national men's athlete of the week for the, I'm gonna get this acronym right, the U.S. TFCCCA, which is the United States Track and Field and Cross Country Coaches Association. They're kind of the kind of oversee the indoor track and outdoor track, you know.
Right.
So Charlie won that national award 2 weeks ago after the Razorback Invitational, and then Cooper won it on Tuesday after the Tyson Invitational.
Wow. Get out of the gate, literally.
You know, two meets, two national awards.
Yeah, talk about, and I know it's obviously ties into sport, but way to get out of the gate. So a week ago.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? What's crazy about that is they have a guy, Charlie and Cooper have gotten the national recognition, but they have a sophomore, Cole Hawker, who's run a 350 mile, you know, and it was second place in the 3K at, I think, 746 or something like that, and he's just, like, kind of getting lost in the shuffle because he's not getting the wins, but the times he's putting up are just insane as well.
You know, a week ago in the Register Guard, you wrote about another thing folks have been kind of curious about. The word came down from Governor Brown's office regarding outdoor contact sports, prep football. It's obviously been a big point of contention through the pandemic. So in layman's terms, kind of what are the guidelines that would add up to these teams and players being able to actually get back out there and football?
For football specifically, it's going to be a county by county thing, and since we'll stick with Lane County, and since we're still in extreme risk, you know, the schools have to come up with first they have to opt into the season. The school districts have to opt into the season and say, yes, we want to play contact sports and for football. And once they do that, they have to demonstrate that they have a plan in place to test the athletes if they are showing signs of being sick. So immediately on the field or at the school, they have to be able to test them immediately. They have to have a contact tracing protocol in place. And they also have to be making measurable steps towards getting back to in-person learning in the schools, whether it's bringing in the high-risk kids, whether it's a hybrid situation, as long as you're working towards that. And it sounds, you know, looking at some numbers that came out yesterday, every high school in Eugene Springfield fits that metric anyways, as they're actively trying to come up with an approach to get back in the schools. So I think once everybody can demonstrate that they also have a testing protocol in place, obviously not as, you know, strict as the Pac-12 or something like that, but, you know, that they're making an honest effort to be able to test the kids when they need to be tested, they'll be able to get back on the field.
I look forward to the day when protocols, opt-in, opt-out, are no longer in our vocabularies, and we could...
I spent all of December misspelling protocol, and now I have it down pat, so...
Hopefully just in time for it to go away.
Yeah, exactly.
Talking with Chris Hansen of the Register Guard. Let's venture to men's hoops. On February 4th, you were at Matt Knight Arena. Will Richardson returned to the lineup. Then a minute into the second half, Chris Duarte goes down. He misses the Washington game. So at that point, when he was writhing in pain, grabbing at the trainer and having to be helped off the court, how realistic did you think it was that in a week he'd be back, look fine, and help trigger two huge wins?
0%. You know, I thought there was a good chance he would play against Arizona State and Arizona because Dana Altman was not definitive in his stance that he would not. But I didn't think he'd come out against Arizona State and just be lights out. What, was he 6-for-6 or 7-for-7? I can't remember. In the first half against Arizona State?
Yeah, he was unconscious.
And then just the ability to kind of shake off an otherwise, you know, not the best offensive performance by him this season against Arizona to nail that shot at the end was just something else. And you mentioned him writhing in pain in that game against Washington State. Do you remember, was it in the first half when LJ Figueroa went down?
Yeah.
Writhing in pain, too. And I was just like, this team is just snake bit.
Well, they also have an incredible ability to bounce back from ankle injuries, which I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
I want to get to...
They got some good tape in that locker room.
The best. Nike has the best tape on earth.
The best tape.
You know, the return of Richardson, and you got to go outside the stat sheet because the way he handles the ball, he's got a calm demeanor, and he made a perfect feed to Duarte for that gamer you talked about. So just getting him back, and now as he gets more in the swing, safe to say that it's almost impossible to put an exact value on having him back.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think, you know, just everything that he brings to that team, you mentioned his calm demeanor, his ball handling skills, his knowledge of the offense, his ability to drive to the basket to create plays on the perimeter is really huge too. And this isn't to take anything away from Amari Hardy or Jalen Terry, but they're definitely a different team with Will Richardson in their running the show.
No question about it. So from the door closes, another opens file. We have Frank Kepnong, one of two freshmen who's getting some time now with Terry.
Yeah.
We saw Anfali Dante go down, which left them with no size. I mean, until February, he had played 9 total minutes. And, Chris, you could see the rough edges, but, man, how nice has it been to see not only the impact he's made, but what this young guy could grow into.
Yeah, it's really cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
He is. You're right. There were definitely rough edges when he first started playing, but you know, you could also see the potential. I mean, he's so big, and he runs the floor, and he's just energetic and gets after it. And he doesn't always make the right decisions. And I think Altman kind of dogged him a little bit the other day, saying, you know, a guy that big, we don't need him doing reach in fouls on people driving to the basket. You know, just stand in front of a dude and take a charge or something. But it's fun to watch his development, and you're right, he's a guy that could just be really something next year when he gets a full year under his belt of practice and training and weight room, and I don't know, he doesn't look like he needs the weight room. But yeah, fun to watch. It'll be interesting to see what they do with him and Dante when Dante comes back.
Twin Towers, two words.
Twin Towers. Yeah, I wonder, they got the kid from Crater coming too, Nick Biddle.
Yeah,
another 7-footer.
Forgot. All right, the trio of towers. I don't know.
A new
skyline. Couple final thoughts for
us. Hey, we got some time to come up with a nickname. There's no reason to rush it today.
All right, we've got ourselves, you know, with where are we now? February. So by October, that's our mission. couple final thoughts for Chris Hansen of the Register Guard. The team defense, I don't know that you'd look at them and call them great defense or if they have a great lockdown defender, but they never get torched. They hold both Arizona teams in the 60s. They apply pressure, turn steals into points. So when Altman talks about his defense, because you know it's something he obsesses over, how's he feeling about how they're defending this year?
I think you've covered Dana Altman enough to know that he's never satisfied with how that defense is playing. They're never bending the knees quite enough. But I do think their ability to get steals is a strength of this team. And Chris Duarte, you know, is great at that. So is Figueroa is great at that. You know, and they're just really good enough on defense to be impressive.
Yeah, and I forgot, I think it was Jacobson who was doing the TV game a couple games ago. He's like, they turn them into points really well. But
They don't have the rim protector, you know, no, that they've had in the past. I guess Frank Kipnang is getting there. But, you know, they don't have that. That might be the one weak link in their defense.
Yeah, we were hoping that was going to be Dante, but I want to wrap. Bill Parcells always says you are what your record is, and whether it's postponements, the way they've had to pause twice. Here they are, third in the Pac-12. Both bracketologists have them solidly in the tournament. Now they're back home, injuries. I mean, this team with this talent and coaching staff, Chris, I got to think right now, they're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, if they can get Eric Williams back, who's still a day-to-day going into this weekend, if they can get Eric Williams back and they're going to be 100% healthy, you know, obviously without Dante, I think they're positioning themselves pretty good for the postseason. You know, they have the ability, they have talent, they have senior leadership, they have veteran players, and, you know, I think they could get rolling.
I agree. I like one of the analysts said this weekend, they're a second weekend tournament team. So we shall see what we shall see. It all starts on tomorrow. Folks, he's Chris Hansen of the Register Guard, covering a trio of items. Keep up online, registerguard.com, and the sports section on Twitter, at Chris Hansen _RG. My friend, always a pleasure. Great info.
Yeah,
be well, and we'll talk soon.
All right, thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right, take it easy.